This is at Trustworthy Slav.
This is at Incognito, COH.
CRK Black dot com pilled.
This is the Fed Post.
Here's the real question. Do you guys support, how do you guys feel about that whole thing from a while back of China limiting the amount of hours that kids can play video games on like school nights or something?
Oh, I think it's based, but I mean, that's just me.
See, this is okay.
But before you answer really fast, fast, I'm going to say we're talking about children right now. Right. So the role in controlling access to things is a lot different when we're talking about the law as it pertains to children. And that's a pretty common thing across the board. But anyway, I want to hear your take.
Sorry, could you say that again?
It's in the context of children, limiting access to things is a lot more of a norm
than adults. Yeah,
exactly.
My only counter thing is like, okay, I'm just wondering, right, from like a conservative perspective, like, do you really want the government parenting your kids, right? Isn't something like limiting video game time, shouldn't that be something the parents do? Like, isn't that more of like their role?
I see that argument for sure. I literally just thought about that as soon as Slav said the thing about, well, let's think about this is for children restricting their access. I was like, wait a minute, should be the parents' call.
Yeah. I think a lot of the right social stuff involved, well, a lot of the right wants a retraction of government, like government out of people's lives economically for the most part, and then socially to step in more. And I just feel like there's a weird thing there of like, all right, I don't want the school teaching my kid all this weird gay shit and all that. I'd rather homeschool them. But it's just like, but then why do you want trust them to like manage what they do? Why do you want them to parent your kid at all? Like, you know, there's something weird there that I can't wrap my mind around. But like, either way, I generally just don't like this idea of like, the reason why, like, Eric Adams is doing this thing where he's like, the reason why there's rising violence in New York City is because of drill rap music, which is just fucking retarded to me.
Yeah, of course.
I've heard this shit before. For how many decades do they do this shit?
Forever.
Blaming rap for everything. And what was before that? Like, you know, punk
rock.
I'm sure they blame. Yeah, they blame all this shit for their fuck ups, basically.
Yes.
For them not taking out the trash. And I hope no one takes that literally, but blaming art, blaming violence in movies, blaming Tarantino, blaming video games. I don't like that shit. It gives them an out. It gives them it's an easy out for them to just clean their hands of everything. And if they want to ban that shit, I mean, that's up to them or whatever. But like, it's not a solution. And again, like, I don't know, man. Like, if you don't want your kids listening to gangster rap and like you don't want them to fucking watch violent movies and shit, you get on that shit. That's on you. Like,
you should teach
out. Like,
I think that, man, I don't know. For my personal beliefs, I think kids should be playing way less video games. And so, I think that, like, the intended result from that, I think is good. But I don't know that the act, like, the way that they're implementing, bans on access to it is the right way to achieve that result. I don't know what is, though. You know what I mean? I don't have all the answers. I would rather see maybe a society that prioritizes, physical connection with people who are within your proximity, playing outside, interacting with nature, et cetera, et cetera. But then also for people who live in like urban areas that are densely populated, you don't have a lot of options for going out and really like, you know, spending your whole afternoon outside, playing outside or whatever. You know what I mean? It's smoggy, it's dangerous, you can go down to the park or whatever, but it's not really an excuse or a replacement for that. So I don't know. I think there's just a lot of issues that we need to fix, like, societally at the root that are not going to be solved from banning things. But like, are we ever going to actually do the fixing that needs to be done? And are the bans the best options that we have for trying to get these results? I don't really know.
And I'll add, just to be fair to like parents or whatever, I understand that this is a hard time now. It's not as easy as just like, cut out the video games. Cut out. It's harder now because of the internet. Kids mm-hmm. are harder to regulate than ever.
And they're pulled in all sorts of directions too. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say I think games, especially now as opposed to in the past, because are designed a lot more. Games, especially for young children, are designed to just be habit forming as opposed mm-hmm. to being like little, like the idea of, think about arcade games, right?
Yeah.
Arcade games are super predatory because they're making money by having you feed them quarters, right? So the first level is really easy and really nice to get through.
Build your confidence up a little.
Build your confidence up. Second, a little harder, but you hit a difficulty wall, right? And it's baked into the fucking design of the game, right? To get you to just start feeding those fucking quarters in. They've got you in long enough, right? If you look at like Fortnite, or I don't know what fucking kids are playing, really, Genshin Impact or something like that. These are like games that are like free up front. You get like, you can get a good amount of gameplay out of them, right? You get like 2 to 5 hours before you hit this wall, right? And everything is like progression, right? So it's like every time you're playing, you're leveling up 5 different things all at once, right? And you're like getting that fucking hit of dopamine. And then you like hit a fucking wall by the time there's like a habit that's been formed in you. And then you start throwing money at them, right? And the point I'm just making here is that it's less like about, you know, because I remember like the Jack Thomas days with like fucking that lawyer who was making a whole career of like trying to take down Grand Theft Auto or whatever or all that shit. And, you know, problematic, like violent content, shit like that. That's not really like the issue in my mind. The issue is more just like, you know, it's like alcohol or like narcotics or gambling. It just like, these are like kids who are like playing. They're not playing with like an action figure. They're playing with like an addiction machine.
Yeah.
And like, that's fucking bad, dude.
And I think that there's a big difference. Like, you brought up rap, CRK. I think there's actually a pretty big difference functionally between rap and video games because of the way that they are, maybe not originally, but now it's a lot easier to like get a mixtape up and out there without going through corporate structuring, without going through some sort of, you know, deep editorial process. Yeah. You might not get radio play or whatever every time, but you know, if your shit is right and you get in front of the right ears, you have, you know, enough people that are in the scene, you can, you know, get yourself SoundCloud. Heard. Yeah, you can go on SoundCloud, you can get plugged in with DistroKid or whatever on Spotify. You can do whatever you need to do. But with video games, it's like, you know, that's made by a game company that's usually like some sort of multinational corporation or some sort of larger corporation. That's, you know, these people have a more of a vested interest in putting out things that are, like you're saying, Slav, predatory in a sense that they are habit forming. Whereas a lot of rap music is probably just like people just reflecting what they're seeing and what they're a part of and what society is around them. You know, sometimes it's glorification of things that aren't great, et cetera, but it's not like, I don't know. I feel like it comes from less of an industry type of place with mm-hmm. a lot of that than like video games. It's almost like, you know, the channels that it has to go through in order to get onto your Xbox is like in itself a little bit different process.
There is an insane amount of capital in game production, just like television and movies. And like everybody talks about Tencent, right? This humongous entity that's just bought up tons and tons of publishers and developers and in games. And yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's just a big Chinese asset. The CCP has a huge stake in it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a really common thing. You know, X company gets bought up by Tencent and now, you know, this huge grocery list of things that you're no longer going to see in any of the games that they produce.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's the same way with something like BlackRock or Vanguard. I mean, they have a stake in literally everything, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me, because the way you're talking about video games is like an addiction or whatever. It begs the question in my mind, like, what would I say about big pharma pushing opioids. Right. Do I think that that should just be illegal outright and that'll solve the problem? Under my reasoning, no, right? That's not enough. But
would it be good?
That's something that sounds very appealing off the bat that I can't really think of an argument against.
Yes. That's the catch-22 with a lot of these things, like bans on such.
Dude, this is some this is some fucking dictatorship of the proletariat type shit, though, I'm thinking of a little bit. Because it's like we're talking about, like, it's like the person who makes rap, the person who's like a small musician, they're like the id of society. They're like an output of the ideology that's going into them, that's forming the art that they're making. And I'm not like really all that concerned about that person, because that person like doesn't really possess like capital. And that person isn't, they're part of a feedback loop and they're propagandizing the people around them.
But we all are.
Exactly. Right. Well, and like, it's the people upstream. Like, it's, I am totally in favor of authoritarian, draconian measures against our depraved elites.
Yes. Thank you.
You know what I mean? And you see some fucking Epic Games, Fortnite shit. That's just like these kids flossing, doing the flossing dance and shit. And like
get that shit out of here.
And like all these big spenders on these free games, I call them whales, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get whales that it's just a fucking 10-year-old kid spending $12,000 on his parents' card.
Unreal.
And it's wild, dude. There's these Genshin Impact, right? It's called the genre is called a gacha game. And apparently you know, there was this whole legal thing about loot boxes, right? Loot boxes are gambling, right? So you pay $5, you're going to get 5 loot boxes, or I don't know what the loot market looks like, right? But and you basically, it's a roll of the dice, you open the box and it gives you X number of items in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Is that gambling, right? The obvious thing, and this is what people said, right, is that you're not winning any money from it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like,
you're still gambling. Your brain is receiving it as gambling. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And it's a little bit of a tough issue, but kind of the consensus came down with just like, dude, children are not fucking capable of withstanding this shit. Dude.
Yeah.
And you look at fucking grown men playing shit like Genshin Impact. I heard of a guy who spent $20,000 on loot crates, dude. And this is straight up just like trying to buy different like character outfits for like anime girls in a video game. Like,
what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, dude. So
yeah, you're right. The line is blurring with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And especially in the digital age, which makes this all more complicated, because like the opioids thing, you know, I want all those big pharma people that pushed it and incentivized it and knowingly was like, hey, we took all the jobs out of these rural areas and we're going to replace it with opioids because that's like a logical thing to exploit for money. And like that, I want those people like lined up, right?
Yes,
and like
sir.
The people who push the crack epidemic or the feds or whatever, I want them fucking lined up, right? And you could tell me, I mean, I could tell myself like, oh, you know, that's not going to solve anything. Or, you know, if you ban those drugs going in, their lives are still fucked up regardless. They'll find some other vice, right? That's true. But I still want them fucking lined up.
And those people then have to go and find another vice. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's like, yeah, they'll go and find another vice. Maybe not everyone will. You know, maybe some people don't want to have the access to the other ones. Or
and it's just,
and there's degrees to the vices. Like, there's degrees to, like, look, I understand weed and porn and video games are bad and addictive. I understand that. And I'm not trying to like dismiss that. All I'm saying is that that is not the fucking same as people addicted to crack and heroin and opiates. Yeah. That's another fucking level. Cause and you know, gambling I think is a weird one, cause it's kind of on the in between, cause gambling can be really fucking destructive.
Yeah.
But weed, porn and video games, like, yeah, they're bad, but people can get out of it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but you're not going to get withdrawals getting out of it. I mean, to some degree, psychological withdrawals, but like that's more easy than hard drugs in your system. And that's why I kind of have a different solution or like hammer to those problems. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, the answer really is just like, we need the dictatorship of the proletariat, and then we can start, you know, lining these folks up and, you know, deciding what's right and what's wrong. But I mean, will that ever happen? Who fucking knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Addiction's a tough thing, right? Because it's similar to the fucking racism point we were talking about earlier with Thaddeus, right? Which is like, you know, material conditions won't improving, you know, won't undo racism in every form under every little nook and cranny and rock. Mm-hmm. But to my mind, it's the furthest you can go with solving these social ails and dysfunctions within the realm of actionable things that you can do.
Yeah.
Right. And with drugs, it's multi-pronged, right? Like the guy who comes into the neighborhood and is like getting people hooked on, you know, is making a living off of, you know, hooking people on crack and selling it to them. He should fucking face consequences for selling fucking body destroying, community destroying drugs. And at the same time, like, that's obviously not going to solve the problem. I'm not saying anything super novel here, but and in the same way too, you know, like, I don't like, you know, because I've been through treatment programs and like, mm-hmm. and I'm definitely, I have,
it's an industry of itself, bro.
Yeah. And I've been through one, but I have feelings about the thing that normies do where they just talk about it as a chemical imbalance. And we've talked about this kind of stuff here before, but, that does exist obviously to some extent, and we could have an economic utopia and we would still have people that get addicted to fucking whatever, dude. You have people get addicted to sex, bro.
But I think less people would be driven to these things, right? That it's like 100%. The general consensus.
100%.
And then it's just an issue of like, then it's just mitigation. It's like, how do we, I feel like that's just the thing for me. It's like, what's easier to fix, right? Something that's tangible and material, like trying to get to the root of solving, you know, material economic issues. Like, there are steps that we can take directly that we know that we can make things more equitable for everyone, give people a more fighting chance, a social safety net of sorts, et cetera. But I don't know how to change people's biological wiring so that there aren't addictive personalities anymore. You know, I don't know how to change and make people not bigoted anymore. I don't think you can. I don't think there's any way to fight those types of ideological battles successfully. So what can we do is maybe try to change, you know, the things that we can for the better. And then we can get on a page where maybe we can start trying to really focus on like, how do we combat addictiveness as a personal mindset outside of the scope of people being driven to vices due to, you know, economic conditions?
Yeah, and it's true that there's rich people who are addicted to mad shit, and so it's not an economic driver.
But they exist through the same system. Like, this system is equally unfulfilling, I think, for everyone. It's because it's spiritually inept. Like, it's not something that's good for no matter which side you're on, I don't think.
Yeah, and I agree, because it goes to the spiritual deadness that I think a lot of the right talk about, that is just kind of undeniable, that you know, but it goes hand in hand, because it's like the reason why they're all into those things is because there's a void in their life, even though they have money, because mm-hmm. they've been taught that materialistic values are all that matter, and it goes hand in glove with the other thing of you know, everything necessary in your life is getting more expensive and your money's getting less valued and it's getting harder to live. But at the same time, you're incentivized to live a very hedonistic, materialistic life and get cheap pleasures and just, you know, throw your money out and keep the economy stimulated and just, you know, on meaningless shit. Those are two things of the same system. And that's the same like mentality that creates like that spiritual deadness, so that a rich person is also just like a fucking dope head. Mm-hmm. Even though they have money.
I think that just like the track that we have people on generally of like what you're describing, just like, just fucking spend your money, keep the shit stimulated, buy more shit that you don't need.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think that we're a complete culture of addiction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And like, getting sober was probably like the biggest spiritual experience I've had in my life. And like two big things occurred to me about it, which was like, one was just like, just getting an appreciation for how like the self and identity is constructed, and like for and how that's completely the way that our culture in mainstream conceives of the identity and the self is totally wrong in every fucking way. And in that way, like, I think like transness is just so completely antithetical to an actual view of what selfhood is. And second, just a little aside there. And then the second is just like addiction and the, like the conditioning people to not have the tools to like fight off that kind of like, just, I guess, just rampant lack of impulse control. It just, it permeates everything, dude. Like, we're in a fucking feeding lot and it permeates everything. And and to, you know, everybody when they're getting sober wants to obviously like avoid triggers for you know, engaging and using drinking, whatever. And like the real higher level awareness is to be like, there are, you know, triggers are baked into everything around me, every consideration around me. Our consumerism permeates everything in our fucking culture.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, when you're talking about impulse control is like an enemy of the capitalist mode of production, because if you are able to control your impulse to consume, et cetera, that right there is a barrier to consumption and a barrier to production. And so that they can't have that. And we talked about, you know, how capital, especially a global capital, as it expands, it breaks down cultures and it breaks down, you know, people's traditions and ways of life and rituals, et cetera. And it's the same kind of thing here with people's internal, you know, control systems and people's internal rituals and rites that go on through themselves, like impulse control, et cetera, because they have to take these things down in order to continue consuming. And so that's like where I think, like you're saying, if we're a culture of addiction, well, then if we change what our culture, you know, if we change the way that we produce our culture, then we should be able to address a lot of the addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think having people have more of a stake in things statically that are concrete, that are around them, to have more ownership in like their community and to be less transient is a really, really big step in that direction. You know, it's like when you like choose to, and I mean, I'm doing it right now, I'm smoking weed, like I'm kind of burning the present to like, you know, get high and have like an altered experience. I'm kind of jettisoning it, whatever. I feel like it comes from kind of like a single use replaceable approach to the world around you a little bit, in that like it's, this is expendable, this isn't like an important moment.
Absolutely. I was thinking about that a lot recently, just about like how, I don't know, how the drive towards quote unquote progress, you know, the ideal of progress and towards something better, how much good we leave in the dust and how much just good we destroy in search of something better, in search of more often. And this can be, you know, a macro and a micro scale, trading away present moments for what you hope to have in the future or what you used to have in the past on an individual level or societally, you know, throwing away things before we're actually really gotten the usefulness out of them. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just a compulsion that it's not healthy.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm getting into my critique of modernity and spirituality bag here, but like, you know, you know, me, like at my job, that I, my old job, like I was working, I wanted to do something that would like vaguely help like underclass people, people less economically privileged. Like that's what the kind of work I wanted to do. And of course, what it really was, you know, greasing some politicians or some NGO execs' pockets and at most putting Band-Aids on a fucking huge festering problem. You know, what is it like those DSA kids do? Like they fix brake lights for people. You know what I mean? Like that type of Band-Aid shit, like on the margins. And, you know, I'd just be fucking angry all the fucking time and I would just be drinking a fuck ton. And I would just be coming home drunk and I would just be angry at people around me and just like hard to be around. And like to some degree, that's my problem, obviously. But like this is not an, I'm not the first person to do that. Oh, I mean, that's like a common thing. That's like a common thing. Like dads that come home and beat their wives and kids. Like, that's like, I'm not saying that's a good thing. That happened to me when I was a kid. And like, it's objectively bad.
It's redirection.
But yeah, exactly. But it's something that I came to understand. You know what I mean? I understand that mentality of getting to that point. And it's really just from the like, everybody's just doing meaningless work. I mean, even if you were in the private sector, whatever, you know, and this
that's
might
what
be
gnaws
modernity
me
thing.
The most, bro. It's like, just the absolute meaninglessness of a lot of the jobs I've had. You get home and you're like, dude, what the fuck am I even doing? Yep. Like, this is not helping anyone. This is not doing any net good. This doesn't feel any bit of fulfilling. Like, it eats away at you. Absolutely.
That's what I was worried about when I was like younger. I was like, look, I don't want to do a job like that. Like, I don't want to be part of like getting a 0.00% addition to some fucking company's profits. Like, I wanted, at least if I'm going to be like an office drone, like, let me do something that somewhat like marginally helps somebody. Like, you know what I mean? At least. And you know, that's the thing, man. Yeah. And again, I don't know the solution to this, 'cause this might just be a critique of modernity in general. Like, maybe there just is no, useful work anymore in our part of the world, like in a first world country in 20. No, well, I mean, yeah. No, of course there is. But what I mean is like, it's getting scarcer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or they're not paying much for those jobs that do this shit. But like, either way, like, it's just like a thing you see with a lot of dudes, like with who work whatever regular jobs, like it's just this kind of like what the fuck is all this for? And it's just kind of like it festers, it creates like a spiritual gnawing
that
can turn into some ugly shit real fucking quick. And I don't know the solution to that, but it is a clear thing that it's not just a straight material thing, or even if it has a material root, there's like, it's causing like a general spiritual decay that's like pretty obvious in a lot of people.
I mean, the rates of like the rates of addiction, and honestly, like it probably maybe an even better example, like suicide.
Yeah,
like
domestic abuse too.
Yep.
Well, they're well, I was just gonna say suicide and different forms of addiction like kind of defy what you would expect when you look at like a class analysis of it. I mean, suicide is generally pretty middle class thing that goes on. It's like the thing you hear about, dentists have the highest rate of suicide.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's weird. Like, addiction in this way too. I think that there is like a really big part of addiction that's just a spiritual malaise. You know what I mean? And I almost wonder if like being of a position in a class society where you don't, where you have less time to just sit and just engage in myopic thinking, maybe it is just like, yeah, like you know, maybe you have like a functioning alcohol addiction or something like that, but it never has that space for you to just spiral yourself out or something. I don't really know. I mean, this isn't a very good theory, but it is just interesting where this stuff comes from.
These Nordic countries that like have a very stable economy, homogenous, if you want to take a racial lens, like they're homogenous racially, like they're pretty straight, they're good, and like huge like suicide rates. Like there's something extra there that's, again, you know, maybe it's just like the human condition. Yeah, it's just, yeah, throw your arms up and who knows, but like it's definitely, yeah, it escapes a simple class analysis. But what is it? Viktor Frankl, is this guy, some neurologist. He said, if you don't have purpose, you find pleasure, right? It's like, it's to feel that. So I think that's what a lot of people are feeling, is just kind of like, what the fuck am I doing? And then, you know, they fill it with that other shit, especially American. But I don't really have a conclusive idea about all that.
I don't know how to solve any of that. I mean, I think, I have an idea for myself. Like, I think we need like a new cosmological story of understanding of like how we fit into the universe, how we came here, where we're doing, where we're going, how everyone fits into that, what the meaning of it is, you know, and that there is meaning to it, et cetera. I don't know. I think that's what we need as a kind of just a complete upheaval of our current understanding of life, really, which is, I don't know how you accomplish something like that.
Yeah, I think we need a complete overhaul of like shared ethos.
Yeah.
What's sad, man, is if you say like, yo, we should stop being like materialistic or whatever, like people are just like, that's corny. You know what I mean? It's automatically a corny sentiment. It's automatically like
some cliche, lame to say that. Shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's just lame. Or people just being like, fuck that, get the bag or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That sentiment is just so, it's so pervasive that if you're not about like being flashy or whatever, you're just like, you're gay or whatever, you know what I mean? You're just a queer or whatever. But I don't know how to break that. That's so hardwired into especially younger people. Like,
I don't know. I think the other thing too, though, is just like I'm not even against buying shit and having shit, right? It's just like, buy good shit. Like, yeah. like wasting all your money on like fucking AirPods and like your fifth fucking iPhone in the last couple of years. And just like having every subscription service is like gay and retarded, mm-hmm. right? Buy a fucking house, dude. Or like, I mean, yeah, I guess it's like easier said than done, right? But I just mean like buy that or like buy some shit that's like, that's good that you're going to use, dude. Buy yourself like a nice pair of shoes mm-hmm. that you're like gonna actually get a lot of practical use out of. You know what I mean? I'm a big fan of just like not having a lot of stuff, but like using the fuck out of the stuff that you do have.
Yeah, getting quality goods.
Exactly. As opposed to like what the average consumer is, which is just this kind of universalized, I'm going to get everything and I'm going to use it all once and throw it away. And there's just a lot of like plastic around.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like a nightmare. I'm not even saying that in an environmentalist way. It's just like, this shit isn't good. Like you shouldn't even be touching so too much of this shit. Buy shit, enjoy your shit, have nice shit. By virtue of that, you'll have less shit.
And take care of your shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's another thing. I don't know. You're saying to buy something and use it once and then you're done with it. Like, it's throwaway culture shit that we live in. And it's like, that's part of why they don't make any good shit anymore, too. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's part of why, but they're just not going to make good shit regardless. And people eat up slop. But it's like,
they used to make good shit.
Yeah, exactly. And now they can just build in planned obsolescence, like you're saying, into like anything you buy and people just accept it. Like, that's the most fucked up shit ever. If you told someone from like the 1960s, like, hey, man, in a few years, you're going to need this phone thing and you're going to carry it around in your pocket and it's going to be a part of pretty much everything you do. You might have your money on there. You know, you might use it for interacting with work, et cetera, getting around. And you're going to buy it from this company. And they make them. They're pretty advanced. They're real cool. But the thing is that after a year and a half, they're going to update your phone and then just make it so it stops working slowly. Even though there's nothing mechanically wrong with it, they're just going to kind of slowly phase it out so you got to buy a new one. They'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, if you told someone
why
does
my N64 still work from 20 years ago, but my phone is useless after 2 years?
Yeah, and then people are like, oh, yeah, bro, it's just planned obsolescence. And you're like, yeah, dude, why is that allowed? What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. Dude, one of the funny things, too, is like boomers are really fucking stupid about this shit. But so boomers generally, I've found, not all of them, but they uncritically consume and fall for so many of these psyops to the degree that like a lot of like zoomers do. Like, and a really good example was like my dad had this beautiful coffee table and he always had it. I like grew up with this coffee table. This is a great coffee table, right? I feel strongly about this coffee table. He's like, yeah, you know, I want to get a new table. Why not? Right. And he like goes to some fucking furniture warehouse and he gets this new coffee table and it's new. And it's just like, it's just so clearly less well made than the old one. And he just like gives me the old one. And it's like, oh, well, that's great. Right. But again, it's just like, you think you need a new thing. And like you're not even going to be able to find a fucking replacement to this old piece that is made with the same level of quality anymore. Like, you don't need a new thing because there are in so many, I mean, this isn't true across the board, but like in so many different examples, like new shit just is nowhere near as good as the old shit. So, I mean, you're already good, man. I mean, that's the thing is like our grandparents' generation would buy a fucking vacuum cleaner that works. You know what I mean? And then you're out of the market for a vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Until that shit breaks and you like, until you cannot fix it.
Well, and that's a whole other thing right now too, is just making it so that in a lot of cases, people like legally in just in a lot of other practical ways, just cannot fix their own shit. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's the red life and it's the plan ops lessons life, like everything. And it's reflected in the music. Everything's microwavable music and art. It's all reflected that everything is transient, very transient. The stuff you buy, where you live, everything. But, oh, I have a house. I have like a foundation. I have like roots. I have like anything like that is, and that's what you need for financial like independence. That's just not disincentivized for sure, for obvious reasons. And I mean, that's how you get the pot and the bugs. That's how you get that. It's just everyone just agrees to it for convenience or whatever. And, you know, it's really a genius scheme when you think about it. But yeah. Well, we have another half hour. What was the other thing?
The other thing is that I just realized this episode was supposed to be about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Charles Manson.
I was about to bring that up. There's the Tucker egg slonking thing.
Oh, shit.
And he had the D-trans girl on.
He's branching out into the milieu.
Bro, yeah, probably. He's going to be on FedPo soon. But, like, bro, yeah, I mean.
Do you think he would ever have BAP on?
I don't. Wait, did that raw egg nationalist dude, he was on somebody's show, right?
Yeah.
And he's literally on, I think he's doing the voice for the Tucker ad. For the trailer.
I believe that. I mean, they had somebody slonking eggs.
Yeah, they did.
And you can't just let anyone do that. That's a and professional.
Like, ball sunning.
Oh, yeah. Ball no, sunning. Dude, it literally, that was the funniest part is the fucking, the opening shot is the fucking monolith from 2001, but it's a guy sunning his fucking balls, dude.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, Crypto was in the chat like, yo, red light tanning? I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't know what a lot of this stuff is. Like,
Crypto's up on it.
Yeah, he's up on that. What's the ball sunning? What is that about?
It's whatever the fuck that was. A dude that stood with his dick out in front of, like, this Tesla charger looking contraption with red light.
That was the first time I've seen somebody sunning their balls in that manner. I honestly thought it was just to, like, you know, go out onto the back porch.
Get some light down there. Yeah,
I kind of figured, but I mean, these people, it seems a little goofy to do it.
I mean, yeah.
By those means, to be honest.
I would never do that's Bugman sunning right there, bro. Go out and interact with the actual sun. Don't bring a fake sun to shine on your ball sack. Go out there.
That seems like a Wiimote.
You're cooking your fucking balls right now, dude. Yeah.
Hey, babe, are you done rubbing your Wiimote all over your balls? That's like deeply un-Lindy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
how you kill that sperm count.
Yeah. There's fucking the electromagnetic radiation coming off of that thing alone is going to be strangling your scrotes, bro.
Your scrote.
Yeah.
I didn't know about a lot of this shit, like jelking and like something to like a chin exercise to make your jaw bigger. Like, I didn't know about a lot of this.
I don't know what jelking is.
Apparently it's like make your dick longer or something. Like, man, people are down bad. They're down bad. And
I remember Pig used to joke about jelking on the timeline a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not up on a lot of these things, but I'm going to do my own research.
Results. 30-day comparisons. Days,
yeah. Morgan Spurlock, yeah. But,
I don't know.
The commercial was weird.
Get the manosphere in there. I don't know, dude. Fucking Tucker's doing some dope ass shit.
Yeah. It's for real. It's kind of base, but at the same time, it's like, all right, I don't know. I really see like the reasoning behind it. Like, I get the reactionary stance here. Like, in this time when masculinity is decaying and stuff like that, I understand the, you know, the reactionary push to be like completely hyper masculinity, you know, that kind of thing and drive like that. But I also think it's kind of like just weird. I just think it's like when you hyper fixate on like how to make yourself X identity, you start to lose the very nature of the thing that you're attempting to become.
I need
a thing, dude. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, you don't have to go out there and like qualify that you're a man by saying I slonked three eggs and sunned my nutsack this morning. You know what I mean? Like,
I think people involved in that need to chill out a little bit. To be fair, I think like there's a difference between like being a man and being like a man activist kind of thing, which is like what that is.
Yeah.
And like, and to be fair, I don't know that they would they would act like that isn't the case. You know what I mean?
I see the point of it for sure. And
they're engaging in a media sphere.
Yes. And I wouldn't argue that it's like unnecessary. I would say it has its place. It's just like, I don't know. For me, I see it and I'm like, that's a little weird, dog. But like, I get it.
I have someone very close to me who is really into that shit. Like aggressively so, all of that specific stuff. And this is a relative and we do not have a good relationship and he's a fucking cunt about it. So I understand the critique of it and I agree with it in a lot of ways. It's also just like, it's just difficult a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I think it comes down to the shit we were just talking about, which is like impulse control stuff and just like not being a little bug person. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, like, which by the way, goes without saying, like, I almost feel guilty talking about this person I know in this way. It's like, it's the Oren line of like, none of us are or have gotten through this unscathed. You know what Absolutely. I mean? Like, there's a bit of a bug man in all of us. I'm going to say that, right? Because I don't want to act holier than thou here. But like, I think it's kind of consumerist procured identity a little bit. And yeah. I think that guys that get into this get a little too caught up on the idea of affecting masculinity as mm-hmm. opposed to just like chilling out and just kind of like
trannies almost, bro. It's like trying to hyper feminize yep. and then you destroy yep. the very thing that you're trying to like emulate.
Totally.
Just creating like a caricature of what it is and, yes. and just like LARPing, like cosplaying like mad hard. Like, bro, clean your room, get laid, get a haircut, keep yep. your back straight. Like, do that shit. But
do
like, bro,
all that shit.
Don't fucking put it on my timeline and don't fucking talk to me like it's some fucking political lifestyle or some ideology. What the fuck are you talking about? That shit is weird, man. Just do it.
That's
just
some baseline shit.
I don't need
shit.
To hear about it. Yeah, I don't. It's weird to me, man. It's consumerist shit. It really is.
But I guess
is.
Some people having need said, to hear something like
yes.
that. I mean,
having
I don't know,
said
dude.
That, it's just like masculinity is so disciplined against and like it's just like it's forbidden. Like masculinity mm-hmm. is really, 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 really stigmatized. It's fucking creepy and bizarre. Mm-hmm. And like, and to be honest, like I don't see it as anything else other than basically a conspiracy because it doesn't really make any sense from any other explanation. And so like this, you know, this is what happens when you do something like that. And I can't totally blame people for messaging it in this really forceful Yeah. affected way when like the situation they're in it that kind of is an understandable response. It's just like as far as you know when I interface with it as an individual who you know would make heads or tails of that and maybe deploy it in my own life, which is what the fucking whole ideology is basically self-improvement shit. So this mm-hmm. is a completely valid critique. It's just not how I would go about it, you yeah. know what I mean? And personally, like the stuff we were talking about earlier with Thaddeus, just about like interacting with normies and everything. Like I've noticed that kind of stuff is a really good way of self-alienating yourself and making you hate all the normies around you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know. I just think it's kind of weird. I also think that mm-hmm. it's like people are putting way too much shit under a microscope and way overthinking just how to be like,
Yes,
just
yes.
fucking be, bro. Yes, I don't know, dude. Like people out. Need to get out of their head so much. Yes. And like I do it a bit too. I overthink a lot. Obviously, I'm here just spouting out thoughts on a random shit all the time. So, I mean, I'm thinking, but like you need to be able to take it, like stop trying to look at yourself from this outside view of how am I being viewed? Am I doing this thing? And am I becoming this identity that I want to become? And am I best embodying that? And am I doing just fucking do, bro. Lean into yes. your shit and be you and do your shit. Be confident in it. Go out there and play to your strengths. I mean, I don't know. It's not, I don't think it's, you have to like try to essentialize in one way or another, which I think is kind of what the root of it is at the end of the day.
There's nothing more Chad than not giving a fuck what people think yeah. about how you are or your masculinity or whatever. You know what I mean? There's something effeminate like inherently effeminate about worrying about, oh my God, do they think, you know, this Rivellino line shit, like, oh my God, is the way I'm sitting or leaning, like, is this that's some gay shit, bro.
It's reverse, like, it's sissy hypno. It's like, yeah, bro. Bodybuilder hypno, gay shit.
Like, yeah, I've never worried about that shit in my life. I've never thought about that.
Rivellino's like, some of my genius, friends, though. How dare you?
No, but I mean, like, and some of my friends who were, like, into Rogan or whatever, like, they'll become so obsessed with, like, the way they look and, like, oh, my shoulders are not ideal for this. It's like, bro, you sound like a fucking bitch, bro. You sound like a bitch, bro. Like, you know, this is what girls talk like. This is girls talk about, oh my God, my nose, my limbs are not proportional, whatever. Shut the fuck up, man. Like, you know what I mean? I don't like hearing that shit from dudes. Like, from girls, it's all right. But, like, and girls just being like, and a lot of these guys that get into this manosphere shit, they just talk all the time about how much they hate women. I've seen dudes like this in real life.
It's like Mac from Always Sunny.
Yeah.
No, dude, that shit is some faggotry, for real, bro.
That's also feminine shit, because women are the ones who are always sitting around like, I fucking hate man. I can't stand man. I hate, you know, they always say that shit. And meanwhile, it's because they haven't gotten laid in a while or whatever. Like, they're itching for dick or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't like that shit.
I'll say I've been getting laid consistently for a while. I'm not involved in the manosphere or any stuff like that. I genuinely kind of hate women, though. Like, for real, though. Like, I love my girlfriend. I, like, love the women in my life that I have a nice relationship with and all of that. But, like, for real, though, like, women are horrible.
No, of course, bro. No, listen. Of course, right? Like, baseline is what I said about in groups and out groups. Like, we're all bigoted, right? Like, look, obviously, we all fucking dislike women. Obviously, they dislike us. I mean, look, this is open secret. Like, we all know this. But there's a difference between being like, oh, fuck these fucking bras. You know, there's a difference between that and, like, talking about it incessantly. I'm talking about dudes that talk about it incessantly. Mm-hmm. Like, you met these? Have you guys met anybody?
That's a
like
red
that?
Flag, bro. Yeah. That's like, that's
met
like.
Dudes like that.
I'm not trying to be involved with that.
No, I mean, again,
they
this
just
is
keep talking about it.
This is this person that I was talking about who's involved in all this. I mean, it's just, I've known this person their whole fucking life. It's intense, dude. Honestly, man, it's the same thing as just the fucking gender role shit that you guys were both just kind of talking about, which is just like misogyny is just a lot like that, which is just like being a man. You stand up straight. You do all that kind of stuff. That's just kind of natural. That's just kind of baked into it. Don't affect it and don't like, don't focus on it too much. And it's just like having kind of just like a frustration and a little bit of tension between you and the opposite sex is just like normal. And that's like kind of the fire, bro.
That's exactly. The fire. It's fucking love right there.
Yeah. The Eros or whatever.
Like, you don't like don't think about it anymore because it goes beyond. It's beyond rational. There's no analysis of that that really needs to be done. You know what I mean? You sound like fucking Judith Butler. Shut the fuck up. like I love my girlfriend. I also hate women. There are many men like me. But I love women. You know what I mean? And that right there. You know,
can't live with them. Can't live without them, bro.
Yeah, of course.
It's exactly. Dude, so some of this stuff is just boomers already had it figured out with little idioms.
Thank you, dude.
It's true. They did have it figured out. And, you know, like white knights or dudes, they're just like, I love women and just like that really go hard or whatever. Like that shit is fucking nauseating and I don't believe them at all. I don't believe them.
They're hiding something.
Or they're gay or something.
They don't have sex.
Yeah. Or they're friend zoned or they're gay, which is fine, you know, but like, you know, that's.
Yeah, you do you, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sympathetic too because we've all been in the zone before. You know, and
zone?
You've been we've all been friend zones. You know, I was trying to do a shorthand thing.
Yeah, that's what I say. I'm in the zone right now, bro. I've been zoning this whole conversation.
I'm in the flow.
Yeah. Dude, I'm living my life in the zone. We've all been friend zoned, you know.
And
it's painful, man. But again, dude, I think honestly, man, the manosphere stuff. They do. I mean, it's just such an easy task they're going about because people are so cucked in their outlook on all of this shit that like they can be right even like a quarter of the time
in a way. I mean, like it's like a lot of people, a lot of the stuff needs to be heard. Some of it is true and right. You know, kernel of truth. These people probably need to hear it or need to have someone in their lives that can, you know, kind of show them this kind of stuff in a positive way. But like the whole manosphere thing is predatory on people who are generally insecure in the first place.
Well, it's also, I mean, it's like any of these communities online, like it's a commodification of the self. And like it's like the true postmodern form of commodity production and consumerism is just basically fandom. And like, and the manosphere is fandom, basically. It's like a grievance culture fandom. It's bad. I mean,
I'm feeling insecure now because you remember Slav, like in the old chats or whatever, someone would say like something like, I'm feeling like you guys aren't really sexist. And then everyone starts typing like, whoa, slow down, bro. Wait, what are you trying to say? Now I'm feeling like I have to validate myself. Now I'm like, you know, I mean, look, what would you say is the most annoying thing about women to you? Because to me,
how much time you got, buddy?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes. But I would say it's the entitlement thing. I think that's the number one thing that fucking grates the shit out of me is entitlement. I mean, that's like an easy one.
The nagging, bro.
I think the big thing for me, okay, men are physical, women are social, right? Mm-hmm. So like we enforce rules through physical force, women enforce rules by like social assassination.
Yep. Yeah, psychological games and shit.
Yeah. The thing that fucking pisses me off is that that's like a soft power. And so obviously like it works well if you don't like acknowledge it, and they don't ever need to acknowledge it in the modern world because we don't acknowledge that women have any advantages at all. And I think that shit pisses me off. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to like how we were talking about jealousy earlier. It's like you go into a workplace and all the women don't fucking like each other, and like, and they're fucking little Machiavellians to each other. This is kind of like I've had jobs like this, right? And none of them have the like mindfulness to be like, oh, like we're just being fucking women right now. Like this is just a hen house. And like we're all just like being little fucking Roman senators stabbing each other in the back. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's like, it's frustrating how little that's ever acknowledged. And how women use that shit cynically, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like the worst thing, you know, the worst thing a guy can do is he can just beat the living shit out of you, right? Well, I guess the worst thing he could do is kill you, right? But like really, realistically, like you'll get into a fight with a guy or something, right? Or you'll get yelled at, right?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Dude, women.
They can kill you 1,000 times, bro. Off. They'll say something that kills you every day.
And the affected confusion that a chick abroad will do to you sometimes. They'll affect confusion or straight up the worst thing you can be called by a woman is creepy, right? And then it's just like you're in shambles, right? Yeah. It's that. I think it's not even really power. It's not these broads' fault. I think that just like being having that soft power social killer instinct is just intrinsically less likable than just like being the physical brute. You know what I mean?
It's like almost for me, it's like I was out hiking the other day and I saw a snake in the path and I was thinking, you know what? Snakes kind of bug me out because like I feel like with mammals, I got a good idea of what they're going to do next. Like I got an idea. I can look into its eyes. I can see like, you know what I mean? Where is it going to go? I can size it up. I can probably beat this thing if I need to. I can, you know, I can get my hand around this like little like bobcat's neck or something if it's going to attack me in the woods. But like if you're going down this path and you see a snake, you don't know how fast that motherfucker might come at you. You don't know if it's venomous or not. You don't know what it's thinking. You can't logically wrap your mind around any type of process within a snake from making eye contact with it. There's the silent killers, bro. I feel like that's how broads operate a little bit.
Dude, straight up, I've got it. Women are the lawyers of the human race. You know what I mean? Like people are just like, lawyers, I don't trust these motherfuckers. You know, they say one thing, they fuck you later, they take the kids and the divorce next. Like that's like the role that ladies play.
Yeah, I was thinking probably for me
you
it's
know
like,
I'm right.
I was thinking female intuition is probably like the most frustrating for me, quote unquote female intuition. Well, they'll just be like, I know that you're looking at other girls or whatever the fuck. And then they get themselves super worked up on it. And then they like talk with each other and they're like confirming it with each other. Like, yeah, girl, you're right. Like, we got that female intuition. And then they're just wrong. But it just like reaffirms their like psychoticness. I've seen that cycle a couple times.
Did you want to hear something fucking hilarious?
Go on with it.
I'm gonna share a little personal anecdote. And if this person, if my girlfriend ever listened to this, she would get slightly frustrated at me. But I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing when I say this. Fucking, we had her birthday this last year, and like it was a great time. Got dinner, hanging out. The night ended with us getting in a small fight because she came up with a hypothetical about if we had kids and the kid ended up being retarded, would I abandon her and our child? I didn't hesitate. I was like, that's absurd.
He said, let me think about it.
He said, bitch, you're tripping. What are you even talking about?
Oh, I didn't even get a chance to say anything. And she comes up in like a matter of like a minute. She comes up with a hypothetical, gets mad at me, yes, and then starts a non-hypothetical fight with me about this. This is how we end her birthday. Oh. It's honestly hilarious. I still give her a hard time about it. If she hears this, I love you. Hilarious.
I know it's cliche, but bitches be like getting mad at you over some shit they dreamed about and then convince themselves that it's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, just like ruining good moments.
Whenever they open their mouth, bro, they start squawking.
No. What I mean is like what Slav's saying, like.
It was a nice moment.
No, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're having a good time, like everything is going well, you're out to dinner, you're doing whatever, like it's just a time just like, hey, let's just enjoy this, because like everything else in life can be really like shitty or whatever, and for some reason they just it's like they pull out the ether or something to just ruin the moment.
You can see them working it up behind their eyes. They're just sitting there, they're twitching a little bit, they're like
and maybe they have a reason or whatever, but it's just like, man, don't you just want to like enjoy this a little? Like, can we fight about this later? Like, can we just like, you know what I mean?
Like, that's the most masculine fucking trait. Just like, oh, bitch, can we just like relax right now and maybe talk about tomorrow in the morning? Like,
yeah, honestly, it's like, and I don't know, guys are just, this is all cliche, but guys are just more consistent. You know, if I see my friends that are guys, like the things we're going to argue about or dislike, it's all like planned. It's all like expected, you know what I mean? There's no curveballs.
Yes.
But yeah, like that Slav situation, it was just like blindsided. Just like, wait, what? Why are we talking about this right now? Like, what? What are we talking about? Like
it wasn't even a thing 2 minutes before. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
again, see, we don't have a child that's retarded. We don't have a child at all.
Yeah. Hopefully never will, God willing. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, I pray every day.
That's their nature, though. They're coming up with these insane, they're shit test, what is that, the manosphere thing, that's kind of true test. Like, they're always shit testing you. It's true they are, because it's a survival thing.
Now we're confirming manosphere talking points.
They're actually right about
everything.
Well,
dude, I'm telling you, dude, they have the easiest job in the world. It's not hard to be right about half of this shit. Yeah, man, I don't know. And dude, and every straight man who isn't completely broken by modernity understands that feeling of just like having those laser eyes shot at you, and you're just like closing your eyes and you're just kind of like shaking your head and just like, no, calm down. That's not what I meant. Don't want to do this right now.
There's nothing you can say. You're in quicksand. It's over.
Exactly. Yeah. And just, it's like, just don't engage. Just like an argument in which one half of the people arguing is already just so completely beyond what's about to happen. And they're just like, oh God, how do I make this go as quickly as possible?
And the apology's never enough. Like, you just give up. Like, sometimes if you're really like me, you've got the 1,000-yard stare and you're just whipped and you just give up, you roll over quick, right? You know, I just say, all right, I'm sorry. That's never enough. It's never enough. Like, it's not satisfying.
Because it's not rational, it's emotional, right? And so it's like you want they want the catharsis to be fair, right? Everybody does this sometimes.
This is not just broads here.
This is I mean, I'm sure plenty of women slonk eggs, right? But nor Bin Laden does.
Shout out to her.
Shout out, dude.
She follows me, which is surreal. But
dude, let's get her on the pod.
Get her on the pod for sure, dude.
But sometimes you give them the last word and it's not enough, and then you know the next
in those situations I think a slap
is absolutely appropriate.
God, and like the way like Barbara Walters like thought she had got him, and he just like
I love that.
He just like,
I live in that moment.
He just kind of smirks at her.
The way he thought about it, the way he looked away and thought about it, he's like, I think it'd be absolutely right. Like, oh, I love that shit. The way he thought about it, he weighed it out in his hand. I love that shit. But
he's like, I'm going to do it.
Have you guys ever dated like gold diggers?
I've never had any money, bro. So that's never been an option for me.
Yeah, I've never been in a good enough situation.
God willing, maybe one day I will.
By Allah, I pray.
As goals, right? Yeah. I mean, or maybe not even like explicitly, but kind of like that. I mean, well, I kind of get
what you're saying. Like, you don't have to be rich to have a broad with you that's like, you know, wanting you to kind of pay the way for everything type deal.
And no, she's sizing you up by how nice, like
sizing up by how nice the place you're going to is,
how much
you're spending. You know what I mean? Just kind of like. I've seen that in New York, and it's just kind of like.
Well, bro, that's another thing that contrarian Twitterism has has kind of tried to make cool.
Yeah, they think it's based,
right?
It's like, based.
All right. Yeah. I mean, which is funny because all of these broads that are like complaining about this, like, oh my god, like big yikes! He didn't take you to a 4-star restaurant on the first day, and these are like the based women, I guess. It's like these broads are all in like their mid-30s and single. So like, come on, you're trapped in here with us too. You're not pulling one on anybody. All right.
I've got too much self-respect to date abroad like that. Like for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I did it. I mean, I'll just be like, damn, she's hot as shit. And I'll just be like, you know, and I'll date her or whatever. And then I'll find out during like, you know, that she's like that. And, I mean, it never lasts long. It can't turn into a relationship. But I mean, it's hard not to see those instances like multiple times and kind of not have that affect your the way you think of women. But a lot of them aren't like that. But like that is obviously it's a thing. And I guess I did see that on Twitter. I did see like that debate of like, no, you should be spending minimum $200 a date, or people like love to debate like the money you should spend or whatever. Like there's an amount. Or, you know,
weird essentializing bullshit, dude. Just like do what works for you. You know what I mean? Find a partner that is compatible with you on the things that you care about. You know what I mean? You don't have to set up these weird benchmarks and shit, dude.
If any of these, I'm not even going to say rad femmes. If any of these air quotes based women online are hearing this right now, next time you go to make a post like that, I'm not saying anything. I'm just wondering, like, how many eggs did you lose from the first keystroke to the hitting the post button? It's interesting. I don't really know. This might be energy better spent trying to find a husband. But I mean, again, I don't really know. I touch plastic products and I take
receipts.
I handle receipts. I take my girlfriend out to places that aren't 4-star restaurants and I play video games. But, you know, I'm in a happy relationship and I'm planning to get married. So what do I know?
Right. Yeah. All those rules are really weird. I mean, there was one where it was like, you know, take $200 and subtract by her age. And that's how much you should pay or something like that.
It was take $200 and subtract her weight.
Oh, her weight. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that's savage.
Except the age savage thing does work pretty well, too, to be honest.
Yeah. But, you know, I leave these
to the experts,
the greater minds. Yeah, to experts. Yeah, yeah.
Like Rivelino, the artist.
Yeah.
Just don't be leaning, boys. Just don't be leaning.
Yeah. Mind your angles, you know.
I will say, though, it is, you know, I do think it is it is good to instill in like young men that it is all right to be like masculine.
Yes.
Because I do. I mean, it's coming from all sides for these boys.
But not a caricature of masculinity, dude. That's what I think the real problem is. I think it's like, I think that's, it's the reactionary thing, right? Like, I think that, of course there's truth to that. There should be a societal understanding that it's okay to be a man, right? Like, fucking of course there are men and there are women, that masculinity is not something that's toxic and harmful, but also that's not a specific set of, you know, things. It isn't something that's like hyper made into this like hyper reality image of like, you know, some Roman dude that's like carving his own arrowheads naked out in the sun wearing loincloths. You know what I mean? Like, we don't live in that world anymore. You know what I mean? That's not it. Just like, there should be a, you know, a place for young individuals to be, you know, informed by healthy masculine habits, and not to be told that they're shameful or anything like that. But just telling them, like, actually what masculinity is this fucking caricature thing that we've like crafted up over at Langley for you. I don't really think that is like a good alternative to what we have now. It's like the logical alternative, right? Like, it's going to crop up and it's not wrong. There's a case for it, as there is with so much of this reactionary stuff that comes around. Like, there is a case for it. They're speaking to a real sentiment. They are drawing attention to the unsustainable change that we're going through. And they are trying to say, hey, you know, there are these things that need to be protected. But then in their attempt to protect them and to solidify those things or secure them, they go way over the top and actually end up destroying the very nature of the thing that they're trying to protect.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, like,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, as is the case with all of these things, because this is like a really common conversation we're having here, just like with a lot. I mean, like you said, you mentioned just other kind of reactionary things online. Like, honestly, I think for me, it always just comes down to like just not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not the main zeitgeist's approach to masculinity, which honestly is like, it's. So, I mean, not to sound like I've somebody in the therapeutic state, but like, it's like psychologically abusive to young men. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's bad. It's really bad. You know, opposing that, I mean, it's already exponentially better, right? But yeah, I mean, there's flaws, there's critiques to be had, and they're not super hard to find, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I don't see that too much, like the shaming masculine anything. I don't see it too much except for like really bougie areas, you know what I mean? Like in New York, like people will look at me funny or act like I'm like a chud because I go to the gym or whatever. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, but the problem with a lot of these manosphere guys is they're literally the caricature that these libs have in their head, mm-hmm. of like, oh, I'm going to the gym and, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to be Chad and
self-fulfilling like cycle thing that you were talking about earlier with you and tipping.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like, for me, it's like, bro, I go to the gym to because it feels good to exercise, and I drink less when I do it. Like, I need it for my mental state, for like stress relief. You know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. but for them, it was like, no, you must be doing it because you're trying to be Chad and like, you know, all the stupid shit or whatever. So be an Ubermensch or whatever the fuck, like, you know what I mean? I just don't like that they give into that fucking, the caricature that they made. It's like, bro, you know, there's so many people that don't think like that. And, just walking. Yeah. I mean, I don't see it too much. I mean, yeah, I've seen that in New York a little bit. And what was that New Yorker thing where it was like, oh, different examples of different guys. Like, he doesn't go to the bar and orders an IPA and is obnoxious and man spreads. He goes and Tim goes and gets a wine and wears a scarf and like crosses his legs. They were saying all this stupid shit, like be metrosexual, basically. That's where I've seen like the whole, like, yeah, don't act like a dude or whatever. Yeah. Like, but all the dudes I've known that were like really like bro-y, like in college, like football schools that I've been to, whatever, none of them are anywhere aware of that shit. They don't even know that that's happening. They don't even care.
It's not some manosphere bullshit.
Yeah, they don't know. They're not like hyper socialized to even know that that's a trend. They're just themselves. And if people don't like are weird about it, they don't care. They just don't even give a shit. So I mean, I don't know.
It's it's rarely like super alpha people that are like getting into these big identity brands in the first
place.
That's
true.
I mean, like that's they're true. Not, those guys aren't going on Twitter and being like, oh, I'm going to engage with the discourse on the dissident right now. You know, I'm a fucking, I'm a Mersheimer stan. And like, oh, I'm going to side with logo dataless on this issue. Like,
typing at the like console computer.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're not. I don't know. Maybe they're following like Mel Gibson fan or something.
But there are maybe some like NBA players or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they're following NBA players.
That's true. It's people, kids on the margin. It's like what Merrick was saying. Like, not everybody's going to fall into that trans stuff, but like if you're on the margins, you're more susceptible to doing that.
It's like insecure self I don't even know if it's like self-centered narcissism, but like not even from like a place of like pride or anything. It's like an insecure narcissism that I feel like it's mostly what people get caught up in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean the dating game is hard right now. It is fucking, it's bleak, and
it's
there isn't
in the cultural lexicon, I'll just keep hammering on it. Like there isn't anybody who's like in men's corners, you know? And to be honest, like it's fucking scary, dude. You can have one fucking broad, you can have one thing go wrong and have somebody really kind of fuck your life up. And, you know, you look to any mainstream cultural product. It's like just weird browbeating men at how amazing they have it. And I know it's kind of almost like Reddit tier to point this shit out. But again, it's like all the people that die in war, all the people that die in these fucking dangerous jobs, dude, like it's like any other culture war psyop. But I think it's painful for a lot of people, especially given that we're so isolated right now. And I think that men are probably the people that experience that most acutely, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's tough out there for the fellas, but
it's tough out there for a pimp.
It is tough out there for a pimp, but obviously first step you can take is subscribing to the Fed Post Patreon account.
Keep your pimp hand strong.
Keep your
Patreon going.
Dude, we get those numbers up. We'll do a weekly list of things we don't like about women.
Yeah. If this pops off, we'll keep it going. Do a men's column.
Just a mailbag of men complaining about their girlfriend.
Honestly, I know that it's kind of like ripping off Red Scare, but we've had a weird amount of people ask us to do like one of these Love Line episodes. Where we do like a mailbag. Yeah, I've had like at least five people.
Man, I'd love to like give some unsolicited, or actually I guess it would be solicited advice that may or may not even be helpful, but I'd love to do it.
Dude, we should do a Love Line mailbag 100%. Yeah. We could do it easily, dude. We could do it easily. We wouldn't even need that much heads up.
Yeah, I'd be super down for that. That's interesting. I mean, I forgot that Red Scare had done something like that. Yeah, let's give some relationship advice. Let's fuck up some relationships.
Or strengthen them.
I mean, realistically, we're going to leave just a trail of human wreckage behind us. But I think it's time for boys to enter into the chat on this one. I mean, these broads over at Red Scare, they don't have a monopoly on romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we're 50% of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? And we fuck each other. So it's,
sometimes 100%.
Well, that doesn't count. But I said
they're in a field of their own.
Guys, I said romantic relationships.
Shit, bro.
Oh my God.
No comment.
All right. Well, okay. We hit the time. So, that's good. Yeah, this is good. I thought we'd be burnt out by now, but this is pretty good.
We can do the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sometime. We could do the Love Line episode, like a Dudes Rock episode all the way around. Like do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood talk, and then just give some dudes some advice on how to deal with crazy broads.
I'm down for the next crew one. Yeah, I'm down.
One half fellas movie review. Or analysis, critical analysis.
Yeah, there we go.
And one half Love Line mailbag.
Yeah.
I'm super down.
And honestly, the ladies should write in too, because I feel like, Lilith, I see her problems. I see a lot of ladies online. I mean,
a lot of problems. A lot of mental problems.
shit.
I'm joking, Lilith. I'm joking.
It was just a Trump reference.
Dude, I mean, I think you guys got a lot of issues these days, and I think just a firm, strong hand of a fella fix that up real quick.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, easy.
Absolutely.
You just need to calm down a little bit and just have somebody who thinks logically handle it.
Don't ruin, you know, good moments. You know, bite your tongue every now and again.
Exactly.
Your BPD meds. Just relax. Just take it easy.
Don't get mad at somebody about hypothetically abandoning you and your hypothetical retarded child.
Yeah, that's like real Roman shit, bro. You're talking about some exposure or whatever.
Well, and that I would throw the child off a cliff.
Yeah, into the woods and leave it. If it's a strong enough, if it has a strong will to survive, he'll make it.
Yeah, the BAP colony of naked dudes running through the woods will take my retarded child and let me stand to be alive.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I mean, we don't have a lot of female listeners. What is this like? I mean,
yeah, that makes sense.
Like 15%, 20%.
Yeah, we're eclipsing like 18%. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'd be down for them to. Yeah, they can tell us their problems, and I'd be happy to gaslight them and tell them.
Of course,
I'd be happy to do that.
Mansplain a little bit. Absolutely love to do that.
I'm always in the mood for a little mansplaining to some broads. All right, that was part one of our episode. If you'd like to listen to part two, you can find that at patreon.com/fedpost. Thanks for listening.